This podcast is brought to you by Radio Reverb. If you like what you hear, please support us by donating online at radioreverb.com.
The What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
That is Disarm from Bri here on What's the Crack on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Now, he's toured all around the world, originally planning gigs by himself and announcing them on social media, where he has quite a big following. And last year, he supported American act 21 Pilots on the UK and European leg of their tour. And he released his self-titled debut album, which was called Bri as well. This November, he's back touring across the continent in November, which includes a gig here in Brighton on the 20th of November at The Haunt. I'm glad to say I'm joined on the phone right now by Dublin singer, songwriter and the artist formerly known as Bri. Is it Bri or Bri?
Bri.
Yeah. It's Bri. So, okay, first of all, we need to talk about that. What's that about?
Do we?
Yes, we do.
I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. Why didn't I just be Bri from the beginning, to be honest? That would have saved me a lot of hassle. But here we are. Yeah, I just thought it was a great little nickname. So I got everyone after in my university to call me Bri. And then I decided to make it my artist name. And then about 4 years in, I realized that it was possibly one of the worst names that I've ever heard. And no one will ever take you seriously if you just have the same name repeated twice.
Well, it works for some people. It works. Doesn't Rihanna have something like that as well, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah. All her fans call her Riri. Ugh.
Yeah. So, yeah. Listen, you say you started that, or that was your original artist name. How did that come about? When did you become an artist? Because I know you dabbed your hand in a bit of YouTube.
Yeah, the old YouTube. Yeah, I had a lucky viral video in 2010, this awful song called Sum Me Up. And then I kind of just built a career from there.
So you were doing YouTube for a while. And how much work was that? Because I know a lot of kind of younger artists, a lot of people that are kind of into music and making videos and making kind of art and creative stuff, go down that route of YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. How did you find that?
That was good. It was really easy, actually. Once you get one little bit of luck and then you just roll up, literally just kind of ride the wave. And I rode the wave for many shameless years. It was great. So I got to I just tweeted saying I'm gonna be at Sydney Opera House busking today at 3 o'clock, and then 50 people would turn up, and then I'd ask the 50 people, if I come back in 3 months and do an actual show, would you actually buy a ticket? And they promised me they would, and that's what I did in like a lot of countries.
So you were doing kind of proper market research on the song design.
Exactly. I was my own annoying telesalesman. So yeah, it honestly worked. And then, as soon as you start selling out shows, that's when the managers and all the agents come. And thankfully that happened in the Snow Patrol. I have a publishing company and they kind of signed me up after seeing me play in Belfast once. Mm. So then I went from this kind of ruthlessly independent guy who does everything himself to like, stop talking, we're doing this for you now. So it was kind of a strange transition.
How do you find that?
I don't really like it. I don't like it at all. Yeah, I have this big team around me, and it's just like I kind of enjoy the management side of doing things myself, but obviously they know a lot better than I do, I think.
Well,
have to listen to them.
Yeah, I think this is a lot of new artists kind of say this, because initially during the first few years you're doing your own social media, you're doing your own bookings, you're doing your own kind of pre-checks and sound checks and all that kind of stuff. But then when you cross over, when you start to make it big and you sign deals, it becomes less. But does that not give you more time to songwrite, for example, or perhaps develop new musical tastes?
I don't know. I'd never be able to write on tour. I don't know how people write on tour. It's just, also, I think I like to treat tours in a very fun, like, let's pretend we're on holidays kind of way. So the idea of me not sound checking so that I can do a few hours of writing just sounds very utterly depressing to me, really.
Right.
I've seen like a few of my friends are like, oh, can I bring my guitar into the tour van so we can write? It's like, oh, please don't do that. Can we just play PlayStation instead and just have a nice time?
So tour time is fun time for Bri.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. I mean, you're not always on tour, so I have like a month every 3 or 4 months where you just get to go around Europe, and like, why would you treat it like work, I suppose?
This brings me around very neatly, actually, to the next thing, because you have a bucket list. You've got a list of countries you want to see. Well, you want to see all countries across the world.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that? So first of all, when did you come up with that idea, and how's it going?
Well, as soon as I finished university, I did teaching, and all of my friends from university now are teachers, but I am too kind of immature for that, so I decided that I wouldn't delve back into teaching until I finished this bucket list that I have of wanting to go to every country in the world and do all these kind of, you know, extreme sports stuff. So I made this list. I've done 66 countries so far, which sounds brilliant, but then you remember that there's 197 countries and I've spent pretty much all my money. So I need a hit. God, I need a hit.
Yeah, so you need to kind of get working on that. Which has been your favorite country so far? Because I know you do videos as well of these, or some of these countries,
yeah,
and they're brilliant.
Not anymore, unfortunately. Oh, do you not? I just take pictures now, put them cheeky little Instagram and stuff or whatever.
Right. Okay.
My favorite country was Iceland or New Zealand. I love those places. They're just kind of exaggerated versions of Ireland. It's like Ireland, except everything is like 10 times bigger. It's cool.
Bigger mountains, stuff like that as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
So where's kind of high up on your bucket list to go, and what country in the world are you really keen on getting to see?
I don't know. Maybe Brazil.
Okay.
There's a following there. I've seen my stats, and it says that there's a decent following in Brazil for me to do a show, which is cool. And there's also a following in Russia, but Russia terrifies me. As a six foot six, effeminate looking guy, I just feel like as soon as I get off the airport, I'll be heckled immediately.
Yeah, might not be good. I think the idea of maybe gigging on the Copacabana beach has more allure, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely more appealing. All right. Yeah.
So you mentioned about touring, and last year you did a kind of a significant tour, we might say, with 21 Pilots, the American act 21 Pilots. How did that come about?
I literally just messaged the thing because I'm, like I said, I like to do things myself. So instead of going down the whole let's get management and let's get the agent to surround this band and say, here's this kid that you should bring, I literally just like, I'm just going to message the singer, and the worst he'll do is ignore it. And he didn't ignore it. He replied within an hour or so saying it's a great idea, and he's going to talk to it with his manager. And then 2 months passed, the longest 2 months I've ever experienced in my life. And then finally we got the call to say that, yeah, I've been invited on tour for a month.
Wow.
So it was crazy because like the album had been recorded a year before, but there was no like, there's no buzz around it, so they didn't want to release it because there was no real buzz to me. And then suddenly I got what's easily the biggest tour of that year. Like, it was 15,000 people every night in front of teenagers and people in the young 20s that just want to have a great time at a gig. So and it was just perfect.
And just from a cheeky message.
Wow. Just from a cheeky message, yeah. So I do it all the time now. It's great.
You'll be messaging Bono next week. Anything coming up?
Exactly.
That's pretty good. So, and like when you're supporting a band like that on tour, how close do you get to the band? Do you kind of get to learn things from the band, or is it a case of you've got your dressing room, they've got theirs, don't even think about going yours?
Well, they're hugely successful. So not only do they have their own dressing room, there's two guys in the band in 21 Pilots. They own their own dressing room and themselves. So it's not like the band has a dressing room. Like, everyone has their own room because that's how big it's gotten. But no, like, there was a healthy friendship there, but at the same time, they're very quiet and quite, you know, religious and American. So the idea of this big, boisterous Irish band coming in, we were very loud and like we had a bottle of wine every night. I'm just looking at it now going, God, that must have been so annoying for them. but no, it was fine. Apparently they said I was the easiest support act they've ever had in terms of technical and no hassle and stuff, so that was nice to know.
It's good feedback. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
So your album, you released it last year, at the end of last year, and it was produced with Craig Wells, who was produced for the likes of Katy Perry, 21 Pilots and Adele. And what's that?
And now Bri.
And now Bri,
star,
yeah.
Of all.
Bri, you can add that to the list. Did his experience with those artists kind of influence how your album sounded? Or did you have it kind of set in your head what you wanted?
Yeah, no, I had it set in my head. I knew exactly what. I wanted to sound like Snow Patrol, to be honest. I really like Snow Patrol, so I wanted my album to sound pretty much like a Snow Patrol record. And I told him that, and he did what he did. So, like, I actually, this Disarm, the song that you just played, one of the Snow Patrol guys actually plays in that song. He plays guitar. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's cool. But no, he was hugely influential as to like certain songs and how they sound and stuff. But yeah, I did go in with the kind of knowledge of what I wanted it to sound like.
Yeah. It sounds really good, and that's not me just saying that. It's a really, really good album. I would recommend anyone and everyone to listen to it, and it's available in all the usual kind of places. Because for this album you've released You're All Right and Disarm as singles, which you've done videos to as well. Now You're All Right, You're All Right. You did in Brighton. You filmed the video in Brighton.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
What made you choose that? I was going to say what made you choose it, but you can't remember that.
No, it's actually I ended up moving to Brighton for a year.
Oh wow!
So yeah, as soon as I moved to the UK, I didn't want to move to London because the idea of living in London, hated the idea, and now I live in London. So, but Brighton was my kind of dream place to move for a while, just live by the sea. A week before I moved over, I think, is when that music video shoot was. So I just said, can we just do it in Brighton? So it's like a nice introduction to the... But it's a cool video. I like that video.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's really well shot as well. And there's a lot of scenes that people in Brighton will recognise straight away. Very iconic scenes.
Yeah, exactly. We had to get like permission to shoot on the pier and stuff. And it was all very official, so it was cool.
Did you have to shut down the pier? Because there's very few people in the video on the pier.
Yeah, no, I think we just picked a really quiet day, and we definitely had to like fill out a lot of forms and get, I don't know what they did, but it made me look really cool because there's a big massive crew around me and me. Actually, I wasn't in the video. I was just kind of sitting there awkwardly.
You were directing it, yeah.
I was co-directing.
And your new video, Disarm, which is out at the minute, it features a certain Ivana Lynch, who played Luna Lovegood in the Harry Potter series. Are you a Harry Potter fan by any chance?
Oh, massive, yeah. Right. Embarrassingly so.
Okay. So this was your idea, I gathered, the Luna Love.
Oh yeah, completely mine. Again, it was just a cheeky message.
Really good. So and that's out now at the moment. Any plans for any further videos? Are you always thinking about that?
Yeah, well, I have new stuff coming out soon because that album's nearly been out for a year now. So you know, people need new things, otherwise they'll get bored of me. So I've been writing lots during the summer, and my tour in November, including that Brighton date, is going to have. Like, I think the set is 14 songs and 5 of them are going to be completely new.
Wow.
So that's nice.
So that'd be good. That'd be good. Good kind of breeding ground for new songs. So that's
exactly.
On the 20th of November, which is in The Haunt here in Brighton. And before I let you go, Bri, because I know you've got a busy week ahead. What's up with the pandas?
Oh, I don't know. Before I started wearing like a bowler hat, I used to always wear like a panda hat. I don't know why. Fashion,
right?
And because the album artwork is actually, I think it's by this Brighton artist. His name is Charming Baker, and he's like this really successful artist. And it turns out that the Snow Patrol lads knew him, and my agent knows him. So we thought for the artwork for Bri's album, why don't we just ask this guy? Can we use his original artwork? Because that artwork I have is literally one of his original paintings.
Cool.
And we thought we'd have to pay him like an absurd amount of money, but he just said you can have it for free because I like everyone in your team. So it was great. We sell merchandise with that on it, and he hasn't ever called me to say I'm going to sue you now, so that's nice.
So you're fine. You got away with it. You got away with it. Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good look though. It's a good branding because you got the stripy shirts as well.
Yeah, I love it. It's funny. That's a complete accident. Everyone thinks I kind of professionally branded myself by wearing stripy t-shirts all the time, when basically I've just been wearing stripy t-shirts for 10 years because I like stripy t-shirts. So it worked out very well for me, really.
It did indeed. Well, listen, Bri, we'll leave it on that note, and best luck with the tour coming up in November.
Thank you very much, and thanks for playing the song.
No worries. I'm going to play another one right now. You're All Right.
Ooh, thanks. That's nice.
You've been sleeping in. You've been listening to a Radio Reverb podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and to hear more podcasts like this, check out radioreverb.com.